John chapter 5, and I want to begin reading in verse 37. And the Father himself, which has sent me, hath borne witness of me. Ye have neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his shape. And ye have not his word abiding in you. For whom he hath sent, him ye believe not. Search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. And ye will not come to me that ye might have life. Now, what I want to talk about is ye will not. Because what Christ has said here is totally contrary to what the world says. To what you will hear in 99.9% of churches worldwide. You will not come to me that you might have life. Now, this is not just a physical coming to hear Jesus Christ preach while he was here on the earth. Because these fellows were there. Actually hearing the words of the Son of God. There were many who came to hear him, and there were many who, when they heard him, left him. When they heard the words that he said. Many came, and many left, and walked no more with him. And to be honest, if you look at the numbers, which we don't actually have physical numbers, but from the gist of the scriptures, it really seems like more left than stayed. The world doesn't believe that. There are some preachers out there who think they are winning the world to Jesus Christ. They're wrong. It says many are on the broad road to destruction, but there's a straight gate, and few there be that find it. It was not the preaching of Jesus Christ, it's the hearing of the preaching of Jesus Christ. And Christ said words about that. Let he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Because the others will not. In Luke 22 and verse 67, they asked him. They asked him the question, plainly, art thou the Christ? Tell us. Christ responded. And he said unto them, if I tell you, ye will not believe. Jesus Christ said that. I didn't say it. Walter didn't say it. Nobody else said it. Jesus Christ said that. If I tell you, you won't believe. Now, Eric, that fellow on television, he thinks he can tell people stuff and they'll believe it. And this is the fallacy which is surrounding the whole religious world today in the fact that they think they can tell you about Jesus Christ and you'll believe. Christ said, I'll tell you, you won't believe. And if you think you're a better preacher than Christ, you're wrong. If you think you can do more than Christ did, you're wrong. But they don't know the purpose of God. Christ said that. If Christ told these men that he was the Christ, and Jesus is the Christ of God, you will not believe me. You will not believe. As far as I'm concerned, that's just about the clearest statement of the depravity of man that I've ever heard. where the Son of God could stand directly in front of some people. I'm going to have to get my brick here. I'll use the songbook first. There. Where the Son of Man can stand in front of a group of people, himself, the incarnate, God manifest in the flesh, and tell somebody that he is the Christ, and they will not believe. I don't know how it can get much worse. Men will not believe the word of the Son of God even when spoken by the Son of God, directly and in person. So don't be too discouraged when men won't listen to you, or your mom won't listen to you. My mom didn't listen to me. My brothers and sisters don't listen to me. That reminded me, there was a row at my house, which is actually just basically a big argument, some 25, 28 years ago. And I got loud. Let's just put it that way. They got loud. And it absolutely didn't do a bit of good. It never does. Christ said it. If I told you, you will not believe. But it's discouraging at times. You stand in this place and you wonder if anybody understands what you're saying. Most of the time, I wonder if I'm making sense when I'm talking. That's the part that bothers me. You know, I'm not too worried about y'all's understanding. I'm worried about me making sense. Walter, I've had to grow to learn to not to worry about my soul-winning abilities. Well, it's there. It's there. You're surrounded by it. When I was first converted, I was basically in mostly an Armenian church. Another church I went to was not so much Armenian, but that was one that was least popular. That's the one nobody went to, because that fellow preached a little differently. He wasn't at Walter. He wasn't part of the group, really. He really wasn't, even though his son was. And so I listened to Father and Son, and actually, to be honest, I got a lot more out of what the Father said than the Son said in that case, because it was more the truth. But you hear it all around, you know. And when you run in one of those groups, they'll sit around and they'll talk about, well, God's doing something. And that's what they mean, is people are coming to church. Mm-hmm. More are coming. And sometimes they'll say it that way. He's doing it, and they won't talk about themselves, because see, they have to be humble. But other people will talk about him and say, he's doing a good work because, man, he's really packing them in over there.
Yeah.
And you can see it by the number board on the back of the church. It keeps going up. That's good. See, they had this many this week, had less last week, got more this week. Jesus Christ said, if I tell you, you will not believe. You can fill a building. Earl talked about that. That church at Shady Springs there on the corner. Shady Spring, excuse me, not plural. It's a relic of what you can do, what a man can do to fill a building. That's got nothing to do with people coming to Christ. But it does discourage you sometimes. You see no movement, you see no increase, you see nothing as far as numbers go, because that is what we are taught to judge things by. We are not taught to look for growth in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, although that's what we're told to do. That's what we want. And then they'll say, it's always been one of my favorite things, let people see Jesus in you. If I tell you I'm the Christ, you won't believe me. And that's what everybody says. Let people see Jesus in you, and they'll come and they'll believe. And no, they won't. They might come, and you might get some numbers, but that doesn't mean they're coming to Christ, because they didn't see Jesus in Jesus. It's truth. If I tell you I'm the Christ, you won't believe. You will not. Because the believing of Jesus Christ, as he truly is an unnatural act. It's not natural to man. The religious world is so wrapped up in the conversion of every individual that they can convert, and they're so warped by their number game, who's getting more in, that they can't even see Jesus Christ not even playing that game. They don't understand it. There is such a thing as depravity. And this depravity in relation to the things of the Spirit of God is what's known as total. Now, men may be good in each other's eyes, and women may be wonderful mothers, and people do wonderful things. They may be good neighbors, maybe good friends, and maybe you can trust them with your life and your money. They may not steal, they may not tell any lies, well, at least any big lies. But as far as God's concerned, there's none good. No, not one. There's a statement in Corinthians, Paul wrote it. It said, "Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed." He doesn't stop there. He says, "And that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost." No man can truly say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. To say that Jesus Christ is Lord, the Lord, is not natural to a man. It comes from without. It comes from the Spirit of God. The simple explanation is this: the natural man will not come to Christ because the natural man does not want to come to Christ. The natural man does not want to come to Christ because, even if he doesn't know it, which usually he doesn't, the natural man hates Christ, hates God, and hates the Holy Spirit. And that's something else you will not hear in many churches. They try to appeal to men's emotions in these churches. I've been there. I've seen it. And it works. They try to appeal to his reason. That, you know, well, to be honest, Bill Cosby made a joke of it. You know, they might be right about God, so maybe I ought to believe in him. That's the way some people look at it. I hate to say it. That don't count. Man hates the true and living Son of God. The natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness. And what? Neither can he know them, for they're spiritually discerned. But right now I want to turn to Luke 19 for just a minute or two. I gotta look at my watch because there's no clock back there. Yeah. This is another one of these parables Christ was telling. It actually, he spoke this parable started in verse 11. "And as they heard these things, he added and spake a parable, because he was nigh to Jerusalem, and because the thought that the kingdom of God should immediately appear. He said, therefore, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy till I come. Verse 14. But his citizens hated him and sent a message after him saying, we will not. We will not have this man, or if you want to, leave it out. We will not have this to reign over us. We will not. Man will not. And they will not because they hate him. Christ said that too. I'm not making this stuff up. This is, you live in this world, you work in this world, you're surrounded by family, friends who don't know anything about Christ. And you have a tendency to forget the condition of man. I do. Because you have to exist. You have to live. You have to work. We are not of the world, but we are in it. And every now and then, that fight that happened in my house, some 20-some years ago, when it gets a little heated and stuff like that, and I remember seeing fear in the eyes of some of my family. And I remember, still to this day, the vehemence against it. They hated it. Now, things have calmed down since then with my family because I don't bring stuff up anymore. Mm-hmm. If they want to talk about it, I will. I don't have a problem with it. But, you know, and I hate to use that, but with the case of some friends I have and some family I have, there is such a thing as casting pearls before swine. I don't do the casting anymore. I learned the hard way that if you bang your head up against a brick wall, all you're going to do is hurt your head. The wall's still there, and it's still there today. And these, the other day, well, I guess it was this past summer, we had some friends in, old friends of the family, and I went down and I saw them. And my sister brought it up, first time that anybody ever talked about anything in a long time. It says, and what they said was some years ago, they said, I got religion. And that's what they told the people that were visiting us. And she looked at me and she said, Joey, you got religion? And I said, yeah. There's no explaining it. There's no explaining it. Matter of fact, you want to know the truth? I still got it. I just don't bring it up at home, at the house. Because there's no profit in it. And if God wants to make a way for them to hear the gospel, he will, whether it's from me or anybody else. It doesn't matter. And that's another thing you have to come to realize and not beat your head up against the wall over. But his citizens, they're in his world, his property, he's the owner, he's the Lord, he's the God, they hate him. And they do. And they will not have this man to reign over them. Yes, they will. Whether they will not or not. Man hates God. Man hates the Spirit of God. Man hates the Son of God. And man hates the true word of Christ. And because of all that, man will hate you. Now Christ says they don't hate you, they hate me. And that's true. But sometimes it feels like they're going to try and take it out on you. They'll hate what you say and they'll hate what you do. And they'll hate him whom you preach, whom you teach, whom you want to talk about. and they will not come to him. Now, back in John chapter 5, Jesus continued his talk with these same people. Let me get to the right page. In verse 40, he said, "Ye will not come to me that ye might have life." Verse 41 says, "I receive not honor from men." Verse 42 says, "But I know you, that ye have not the love of God in you." Because if it is in you, you'd come. I don't know who's got it, who doesn't. I have a good hope sometimes from some people I've been around, some people I've talked to. But I don't know. Christ knows. That foundation does stand sure, having that seal. The Lord knoweth them that are his. And when he says, "Ye will not come to me, that you might have eternal life," you might have life, they're not coming. At least not then. Christ knew them, and he told the truth about them, about them to themselves. Because he continued on in verse 46, he said, "For had you believed Moses, you'd have believed me." The gospel hasn't changed. Christ hasn't changed. Man hasn't changed either. "But if you believe not his writings, how shall ye believe my words?" What these Jews wanted from Jesus was not what Moses wrote. Now, I have to wrap this up. The reason, as far as I can tell, that man will not come is because man cannot come. And we've said it, and we say it sometimes a little flippantly. It's still true, you know. You will if you can, and you can if you will. That actually is true. They will not come because they cannot come. Christ himself stresses this in the next chapter, chapter 6 of this gospel, according to John. He baldly and boldly states it twice in the same chapter. No man can come unless or except God has done something for him. Go back, what was that? "For if you believe Moses, you'd believe me. I know ye that ye have not the love of God in you." In you. Individually. Hebrews 11:6 puts it this way, "But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. But ye will not believe even if I tell you." No one without faith comes to God. And if you want the opposite of that, it's good news. No one with faith will stay away from God. "The Father which has sent me, draw him, and him I will raise up at the last day." No one with faith can stay away from God. "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and to the Greek." That's everybody, Jew and not Jew. "The gospel of Christ is the power of God to everyone that believes. The gospel of Christ is not the power to the unbeliever. And that's what they think at all these other churches. I've been there. That's where they think they can. And Paul is saying, you know, we persuade men. But some men we don't persuade. We try because we don't know who. Christ can look at him and say, you will not come. I can't say that. Now, I have my thoughts, which are my thoughts, and I'm not going to say anything about that. But, you know, well, then I think back, I remember how hard-headed I was. Life is given by God, the Father, to the people of God, whom he has chosen in Christ, and they come. And no one else comes. Because they will come. Because they can come. And they can come because the Father which has sent Christ draws them, and the Son will raise every one of them up at the last day. They come because it is given to them of the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. They come because they can understand. They can see. They can hear. They can believe. Whosoever will. That's true. Whosoever will may come. Whosoever will not, he ain't coming. They kind of leave that part out. Because they don't want to depress anybody. See, you don't want to bring people down. That Jesus fella, sometimes he's so depressing. If you got a problem with the truth of God, it's your problem. It's not his. It's, they think the gospel is to be good news to everyone. And Walter talked about it a while back, and I remember the first time he mentioned that. For some, it's the savor of life unto life. But to others, and I'm going to tell you this, to most, too many on the Broadway, not the few on the going through the straight gate, it is the savor of death unto death. And that's not good news. And to be honest, when you think about it sometimes, it's depressing. And that's why, with what Walter's talking about, I think we're going to have to be changed. And when we're changed and we become like him, we start to see things more from his point of view than from ours. Because right now, it bothers me about people I know. But there's going to come a day when I'm going to look at it and say, hallelujah. And mean it. That's true. And mean it. They will not because they cannot. And his people will because he's made it possible, certain, not possible. He's made it a certainty that they can. I can't imagine not knowing Christ now. I can't imagine not believing Christ now. Even though I may doubt my salvation, my part in it, my lot, and I do. It happens. You get weird, goofy thoughts in the middle of the night when you're supposed to be asleep or something, or things are quiet, or I'm mowing the lawn. I think some good things when I'm mowing the lawn. I think some dumb things. That's me. But even if I'm not his, this is still his word. This is still his truth. And whosoever will may come. And whosoever will not may not come. And that's still true no matter what I believe. Our Heavenly Father, we are thankful for your Lord, our Lord, your Son, Jesus Christ, who did come and did make the way for us to come to him. And we thank you that you will draw us to him, and he will raise us up again at the last day. Thank you for your salvation, which you have given to your people. In the name of Christ, amen.